and welcome to Myth Monsters. My name is Erin and I'll be your host for these little snack bite-sized podcasts on folklore and mythical monsters from around the world. These podcasts focus on the actual cryptids, folklore and mythic monsters from global mythology, rather than focusing on the full stories of heroes and their big adventures. I'll also be dropping in some references that they have to recent culture, and where you can see these represented in modern day content, so that you can learn more and get as obsessed as I am about these absolute legends of the mythological world. Thankfully, I am feeling a lot better this week. I'm still not 100%, but I am getting there, so you might still hear some cold in my voice. But before we get started, amazing news, we hit 100,000 downloads this week. I'm absolutely thrilled. I'm so unbelievably blown away. Thank you so much for listening and for interacting with me. It's been a pleasure to bring this to you, and I hope to bring many, many more and for us to have many, many more downloads. But it really means a lot to me and I'm so unbelievably grateful. So thank you so much. But spring is in full swing here at the moment, and whilst I'm reveling in that sunshine, my poor little ginger skin is not, and I have very nearly been sunburnt multiple times already. So, to counter this, I'm spending a lot of time writing as many episodes as possible, but that's mostly to prep for my 2-week holiday in May, which is coming up. There won't be a break. It will just continue as normal. I will just not be physically there, I suppose. Anyway, Erin, enough babbling. Let's get on with this week's monster. We are heading over to one of my favourite places this week and going to the beautiful Philippines for a weird and wonderful creature, the Tikbalang. The Tikbalang is generally described as a half-man, half-horse monster with just the head of a horse with glowing red eyes and the full body of a man covered in dark brown, thick horse hair. They are said to have immensely disproportionate limbs, with their knees reaching above their head when they squat, and instead of feet, they do have hooves. They also walk on two legs, just to make that clear, they are not like centaurs. Tikbalang are sometimes known as werehorses, and have the power of shape-shifting, which they would use frequently to turn into either full human people, or to be completely invisible. They could also project illusions and speak in familiar voices to humans, causing immense confusion. They have natural superhuman strength, jumping abilities, stamina, and are completely invulnerable to harm to their body, which does make them pretty fierce and intimidating opponents. They are incredibly territorial, and their main goal with humans was to scare them away or play tricks on them in their jungle home, so that they actively stayed away from the Tikbalang's home. The tricks were so intense, though, that the traveller would not be able to return to the path, and the Tikbalang would be blamed for their eventual death of exposure and/or dehydration. Tikbalang live in the dark, overgrown areas of the jungle in the Philippines, and are sometimes known to live underneath bridges in the dark, damp corners of the world. They would most commonly be found in banana groves, wild fig or wild almond trees, and if scaring off humans doesn't work, they can get more violent. Tikbalangs could attack and end it with eating the victim, and if the victim was a woman, they would do even worse and rape and keep them hostage till they gave birth to a new Tikbalang, which is how they would reproduce. Although the birth of a Tikbalang isn't the only way a Tikbalang can come into existence, it was believed that they might originally be the spirits of aborted fetuses, which are sent down to Earth from limbo, the space in between traditional heaven and hell. However, this might be a mix-up with another monster, as it typically describes another Filipino monster, the Tiyanak, which was a vampiric baby, which we'll cover another time. Tikbalang were also often mixed up with other Filipino male forest monsters, such as the Capre and the Nuno Sunpunso, as they were sometimes depicted with their traditional items that you would find with them, such as cigars and large hats. We've covered the Capre before, but they are large tree-dwelling male spirits, very often seen with cigars. But the Nuno Sunpunso is also typically a male spirit and are the spirits of ancestors. They both generally look after the forest and the trees within it, and we'll cover the Nuno Sunpunso another time. But you can hear all about the Capre in their episode. Aztec Balangs are traditionally male monsters, so kidnapping and raping women is part of their MO, even if sometimes it is for forced procreation. We can't ignore that horses are usually symbols of male sexuality, and actually male insecurity about genital sizes, which is the same thing as something like centaurs in Greek mythology. So this kind of behaviour reflected in that mythology across the world is not surprising when it comes down to kidnapping and falsely procreating with human women. Tikbalang are considered aswang, which are the demons of Filipino mythology, and whilst this is a dangerous creature, you could actually tame them by obtaining over half of its hair, which will force it to do your bidding. Much like how you could tame demon horses in other mythologies to obey you by putting on a saddle, for example. It's said that you should jump on the creature's back and tie it up with a specially prepared tikbalang rope until it is completely exhausted, where it will admit defeat. Sometimes the monster would give a person all of this hair that he thinks is trustworthy, and the hair must be wrapped around the middle finger to get the supernatural abilities of the tikbalang, such as the strength, speed, durability, and the imperviousness to harm. You could also summon a tikbalang with this for life, so you could use them for free horsey back rides. But how would you scare off this monster from attempting to scare you off, or pick you up and take you off into the sunset? Well, there were two ways that you could do this. You could either wear your clothes inside out, as this indicates you're already entering the elemental realm because you are rejecting the usual human ways. The other would be to ask for permission out loud to enter a place, which is seen to be polite to the unseen beings of the forest, which comes from the ancient cultures of respecting nature and the natural balance of things. You could also just generally keep quiet and to yourself, and most of the time they won't bother you either, so there's that too. Heading on over to their etymology, there are different spellings per region, but tikbalang is from Kapampangan, and the root word balang means to jump, as well as being the names of locusts in Tagalog, which links to their overly long limbs like locusts and grasshoppers, which have the arched legs that are taller than their bodies, much like the gross disproportionate limbs. Their history, though, is very interesting, as it goes back to the colonisation of the Philippines by the Spanish. This happened in 1565, and we know this because horses did not even exist in the Philippines before the Spanish brought them across. However, we did know that the tikbalang already existed in the culture. There was just no mention of the horse features that we know about them now. Originally, before the Spanish colonisation, tikbalang were considered to be nature spirits, or ghosts of the forest, that were massively feared but respected by locals. However, when the Spanish came over with a very large Christian influence, as we see with it across Europe, older beliefs were feared and demonised, and the Philippines were no different, with friars and religious figures in the community remodelling the descriptions of peaceful spirits to discourage belief in anything other than the religion that they brought with them from Europe. The first actual documented evidence of the horse demon was from 1750, and this was talking about a boy being kidnapped by a tikbalang, and I have an extract. A very tall and skinny black man, with a long face like a horse. the shins of his legs reaching above his head when squatting down. He had very long ears and nose and somewhat short horns on his forehead, very large and frightening eyes and the mouth of a horse. There is also a popular saying in the Philippines about the Tikbalang, which is still present in culture now, which is typically announced when it is raining on a sunny and clear day. A Tikbalang is getting married. This is linked to the Spanish idea of a witch or trickster getting married on a rainy, clear day, which isn't just Spanish, it has a European influence and ended up over there because of the Spanish in the end. The Tikbalang myth spread outside of the Philippines too, and ended up in India, where there are two different representations due to the two different religions in India. In Hindu interpretations, which began around 200 AD, the Tikbalang became a horseman, which was an incarnation of the Hindu god Vishnu. Later, in Buddhist reinterpretations, the god Hayagrivra became a yaksha, or nature spirit, with a horse's head and the power to cure illnesses. He was generally a guardian type of god, and he embodied compassion of all the Buddhas and enlightened speech. This also affected China, who took massive inspiration from Buddhism, and within their mythology, when you die, you are greeted by two guardians, Oxhead and Horseface, who escort the souls to the underworld. They are the messengers of hell, and are also represented in Japanese and Vietnamese mythology because of the Chinese influence. So all of the Asian folklore monsters make their way back to each other. Coming off of that, there are a few other mythical creatures we can compare the Tikbalang to, such as the Minotaur and the Centaur for the easiest of them. Both of these monsters are traditionally representative of men and the animalistic nature of the half-man, half-domineering beast, with a fondness for killing people in their territory and kidnapping, assaulting, and impregnating young women. The Minotaur was a lone creature such as this one, but centaurs typically stick to larger packs, and whilst both of them protected the place they had made home, neither are considered guardians of nature, but the Minotaur at least had his own set place that he guarded, I suppose. Now, moving on to modern media, there is not much going on here for the Tikbalang itself, so I've put in as many as I can, but I filled the rest out with centaur-type media. For art, there's not really much portrait or formal art for this one, so I'd have a look at the independent art for this monster for some spooky but cool stuff. In movies, we have creatures of Philippine mythology, Ted Hanna, Fantasia, Harry Potter, TMNT, Hercules, The Fearless Four, Teen Titans Go vs. Teen Titans, and The Golden Voyage of Sinbad. For TV, we have Lost Girl, Tresse, Centaur World, The Ancient Magus's Bride, A Centaur's Life, One Piece, Yu-Gi-Oh! Andromeda, Xena Warrior Princess, Hercules The Legendary Journeys, Beastmaster, Chaotic, Gravity Falls, The Mighty Hercules, My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, Futurama, The Simpsons, Wishfart, and Tigtone. On to video games, we have ones such as Infinity, Adventure Quest, Darkest Dungeons, Bayonetta 2, Final Fantasy, World of Warcraft, League of Legends, Guild Wars, Fire Emblem, Overwatch, Mortal Kombat, Quest for Glory, Dwarf Fortress, Dota 2, Shin Megami Tensei, Smite, Total War Warhammer, The Legend of Zelda, Mega Man 6, Oddworld Stranger's Wrath, Kingdom Hearts 2, Heroes of Might and Magic, God of War, The Elder Scrolls Oblivion, Fallout, Dragon Quest, Fate/Grand Order, Castlevania, and Abyss Odyssey. My book recommendation this week is The Amazing Beasts of Philippine Mythology by the Ang Ink Artist Collective, And as always with Filipino myths, have a look at the Philippine Myths, Legends and Folktales series by Maximo D. Ramos, which I'd always recommend for this mythos, as they are a fantastic series of books. But now it's time for Do I Think They Existed? I really hope not. It sounds like a really horrible monster that I certainly wouldn't want to run into in the woods, or anywhere else for that matter. I'm kind of okay with the thought of centaurs, and the second half of them being horses, but the head of a horse version really freaks me out. I guess it's the same kind of issue that I have with opposite mermaids, with the fish heads, the human bottom halves, which I'm sure works better on a human reproductive system front, but otherwise, freaky. But do I expect to find this monster when trekking through the Philippines? I'm afraid not, but I totally see why they exist and how they represent the older idea of respecting the quiet of nature and the forest, and the repercussions of this if you didn't, which I love as a tradition, especially as it's represented within folklore to this day. I do like this monster though, and I've never really thought about the horse slash male human sexual vigour thing in my head, and it was like a light bulb moment, especially with the centaur and minotaur links, and it's definitely made it a lot more interesting in my book. And it is so fascinating to me that we can link this animalistic trait to the human condition in some way, and that is reflected in our folklore. It is so, so interesting. If you've heard my other Filipino monster episodes, you'll know it's one of my favourite mythologies, so I loved covering this, and I certainly hope that when I finally get out there, that this horse boy won't be waiting for me. That would be great. But what do you think? Did the Tikbalang stalk the forests of the Philippines? Let me know on Twitter, I would love to know what you think about this one. I really enjoyed this monster, as horrible as they sound. I was actually first introduced to this back when I was doing my playwriting masters with my wonderful Filipino bestie, Dominique. She was writing a play about Filipino monsters, and the Tikbalang wasn't in it, but it was one that we discussed. So it's nice to finally do a deep dive into it to understand it more, especially from a Western perspective. I think it's really important for us to understand each other's mythologies and folklores and cultures across the world. Next week, though, we are coming back to roost in the UK for a monster I have covered before on a guest spot on another podcast, but we need to do it at home. So let's go fey hunting for the Spridgen next Thursday. For now, thank you so much for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give it a rating on the service you are listening on. I've got the Twitter for any questions or suggestions on what monsters to cover next, and I'd really love to hear from you. The social media handles for TikTok, YouTube, Threads and Instagram are Myth Monsters Podcast, and the Twitter is Myth Monsters Pod. But all of our content can be found at mythmonsters.co.uk, including some very cool merchandise, and you can find us on Good Pods, Buy Me a Coffee, and Patreon if you want to help me fund the podcast too. Come join the fun though, share this with your pals, they might love me as much as you do. But for now, stay spooky, and I'll see you later, babes.